Like, half the shit in the trailer is not in the movie.
Are you serious?
Like, large swaths of, like, very important-looking footage and dialogue.
Like, iconic images that they've been marketing with for months.
Like, them running to the AT...
Yep.
Not running...
Yep.
What are they called? No. Not AT-AT?
The
AT-ACT?
Yeah.
All right, see, right, with okay, all Justin, of them running, not in the movie.
Game, Justin. Give me an iconic moment from the trailer, other than the one you just said.
What about... It's a rebellion... I rebelled, or whatever.
Not in the movie.
Not in the movie.
Alright. What about...
fun game. I hope you're rolling on this.
Rebellions are built on hope.
That is in the movie.
Twice, in fact.
Twice.
What about the part where he says, "What will you become?"
Not in the movie.
Not in the movie.
No way! Holy shit! When the automatic door, it's like her looking at the camera and the door either opens or closes. It's like
are you talking about when she's wearing that black outfit and the lights?
Yeah.
Not in the movie.
No! Oh! Wow!
Like four for four. Keep going.
Dude, this is like they're saving it all for the Blu-ray.
Yeah,
there'll be a super mega edition. That is nuts.
You know, the shot where... the TIE Fighter comes up and she's on that catwalk.
Yeah, that's not in the movie
not
either.
Movie.
Not in the movie.
Oh my god.
Like, and those were like all like the stingers and what they built like the trailers around. It just it's funny. I mean, the movie totally works. Like it's not like it doesn't feel like hatcheted together with the reshoots, but like all of that is gone.
Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't
know. I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Welcome back to another amazing episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with Randy and Justin, and I am so excited to be talking to them because they are awesome, and they make me seem even smarter than I already am. How are you blokes doing today?
I am fabulous.
Randy, how you doing?
Pretty damn decent. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm Red 5 standing by here, and Randy, Randy and I got to go check out a little Rogue One action this fine Monday morning, and by the time you listen to it, the embargo will be up, and don't worry, we're not going to do any kind of spoilers. Next week will be probably a Rogue One show because it's so amazing, but just wanted to share our quick kind of early impressions and just to kind of get you more jazzed up. So, Randy, you want to give them a little quick razzle-dazzle tease?
All right. Well, oh my goodness. Putting a lot of pressure on me. 30 seconds. So many people... Well,
you've already used 10 of them.
I know, I'm sitting here with my Academy speech. No, it is a lot of fun. It's completely different than anything that we've ever seen in a Star Wars movie before. There are some definite surprises and faces from the past that I guarantee you are not expecting. Wonderful Easter eggs that will be that kind of warrants multiple viewings just so that you can see them all. And... beware that a lot of what you've already seen in the trailers is surprisingly missing from the film. And I'm talking about some like sincerely iconic imagery that people are using to promote the movie is not in the actual movie. So it's kind of a trip, but it's still pretty good. I would rank it the best of the prequels.
Wow.
I guess you call it a prequel, I guess. I mean, it's
100%
not 100% but it's pretty good. I think I share a lot of the same thoughts with Randy. I think that we saw it this morning, and since then, I've grown a bigger appreciation for it, like just thinking back on things. And I definitely concur with Randy that when you walk out, you're going to be like, hey, it was that one scene in the trailer. It's not in the movie, but it's just, I think, an artifact of all those reshoots, but it does not affect the film negatively. The story is still there. It still is very coherent, and it tells a very good tale, and I can't wait to talk about it in depth next week, and maybe we'll have some have you guys give us your impressions on social media. We'll do a little shout out or something like that. So yeah, Rogue One, check it out.
Yeah, and in the meantime, I recommend that you check out a video we're going to be posting to the Geek Legacy YouTube channel. It's a fun little spoiler free review, and check out the site for David's review.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. awesomest. But yeah, next week we'll definitely talk more about Rogue One. I just wanted to do a quick little thing. Reception out there is over the moon positive. Everyone seems to really, really dig what is happening in Rogue One. So on to the show. Walking Dead had its mid-season finale. Did you guys watch it?
Yeah.
I did.
All right. Well, why don't you guys talk about it while I go get a drink? Because I don't watch that stupid show.
Yeah. It's
1, 2, 3, go.
I wish it was over already. However, I will say that Mr. Negan was on point in this episode. Like, he was, I almost want to say, a delight. He was a bit of a creeper, but it was really good scene, so I was excited.
Yeah, he is kind of a delightful creeper. I mean, he does the sociopath so well. We lose two more of our group at Alexandria this week.
Two more? Are there anybody left?
But they're not real important, I'm going to say. They're kind of secondary characters. But by the end, everyone who has been separated is slowly coming together, and it ends on an up note where it looks as if three separate communities are going to rally together against Negan's people.
And yeah.
So spoiler alert. How many episodes were in this? Like six so far or eight?
Eight, I think.
It took them eight episodes to get everyone together, and now when they come back, we're going to have eight episodes before they actually confront Negan?
Probably.
Yeah. I don't know. I think seven seasons, is my magic number for TV shows. I don't think you need any more past that. Sometimes less. Five might even be plenty. Especially if you get full seasons. I think 100 episodes is plenty to tell your story.
It's a nice round number.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard when your show's printing money. Like, do you like the Breaking Bad? Like, Breaking Bad was like, you know, we're going to end this shit. It's like, we're done. They did what Breaking Bad did, like, only like five or six seasons.
Well, they split it too, though. They drew it out when they didn't have to.
Well, they did like The Walking Dead does, to where they had like two like half seasons, right? Walking Dead has their October season, their February season.
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah.
But it's still irritating when it, I mean, there's only 62 episodes, but it could have ended sooner. You know what
right.
I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. Did you see that Walter White was on SNL this weekend?
No.
Yeah, they were doing a spoof, and it was Donald Trump has named his new director of the DEA to science teacher from New Mexico, Walter White. And Bryan Cranston was there, and they're all like, "Oh, do you have a lot of experience with the DEA?" Yeah, you could say that. It's definitely worth checking out on YouTube. But yeah, it was funny. I liked it. Okay. But so it was a season a success, you think, Justin? Or was the season just kind of like just treading water, taking up space?
Yeah, well, there were only two episodes that I wasn't really into, personally. One was a Carol/Morgan episode, and then the other was one where the girl that was in the governor's crew that ended up joining them, I forget her name, slips my mind. Anyway, she had her own episode while she was out and about traveling, and she was separated from the group when they were attacked by the saviors. It shows what's happening on her side of the world, and it was just a little too late, so no one really cared. You know what I mean? It's like we're like six episodes into this season, and you're gonna show us something that happened in the timeline of last season. Who really cares?
Makes sense. What about you, Randy? What do you enjoy this little half season?
You know,
the size says it all. Yeah. You know, if posters could talk.
I enjoy a little bit of suspense and the occasional cliffhanger, but it just feels like we're always being hung off that same cliff. So, if we could just do it all as one straight shot, just get through it, get the story. One of my biggest frustrations with The Walking Dead is how dragged out a lot of the stories feel, because we're bouncing an entire episode with one person that we don't particularly care about from time to time. You know, next week, somebody else. Next week, somebody else. And it just feels like the story moves at a snail's pace. And if we could just get through that faster, I would consider that a win. Of course, that is obviously not the case. So I'm not a real big fan of splitting the season.
That's unfortunate. on the things that Justin likes more. Blade Runner 2, Justin. You excited?
Oh, yeah. I know you're
a huge fan of the first one.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's so funny. I am just the asshole, man. There's a couple science fiction shows that I'm just not into. One of which is Blade Runner, and the other is Dune. I don't get it. They're just beyond me. And everyone else loves them. I hate them. Clearly, I don't get something. I'm the asshole.
Well, when it comes to Blade Runner, like, I don't think it's bad, but I don't think it's good. Like, you know, everyone else, you know, sucks at the dick of Ridley Scott, but, like, I'm like, it's a fine film. I mean, it's nothing, like, inherently bad about it, but I don't see what all the hype is. And with Dune, I recorded Dune. It was on, like, HBO, so I recorded, I'm like, I'm gonna watch this fucking movie. And I was sick for, like, 5 days, where all I could do was sit in bed and watch TV and movies, and I couldn't bring myself to hit play on Dune.
Yeah. Isn't that sad?
I think I'm there with you. How about you, Randy? You excited for Blade Runner 2? You love Deckard and all that peoples.
You know, I'm one of the rare people that is not a big fan of the original Blade Runner. It's kind of cool. It's got its moments. I like the architecture. I like the flying cars. There's a lot of things about it that I think are cool. But I could
like
have lived
Sean
my
Young.
Yeah, I could have lived my entire life without seeing a sequel. I'm glad that Harrison Ford's working. I'll check it out, and maybe it's going to be pretty cool. But I don't know. I've just been somewhat burned by 20, 30 plus year later sequels.
35.
God damn, that's crazy.
35 years in between. It's interesting that. You know, Ridley Scott's not doing it. You know, it's Denis Villeneuve, who did Arrival and Sicario. And really the only returning cast member is Harrison Ford to be the connective tissue between the two. But Ryan Gosling was out promoting La La Land, and he was saying that they had been shooting for months before Harrison Ford even showed up on set. And so it kind of begs the question, how much is Harrison Ford and Deckard going to be in this film? Is it going to be, you know, basically a glorified cameo? I think when it first came out, everyone was excited about the concept of, like, a Gosling-Ford, like, buddy cop movie. But to me, I would think that the allure is Harrison Ford. And will a Blade Runner movie with a glorified cameo from Harrison Ford be something you'd want to see?
Yeah, I mean, that comes down to just, like, the end of Force Awakens. I mean, if all we see of Harrison Ford is the same amount that we see of Luke Skywalker at the end, then what's the point? I mean, if you're trying to make some connective tissue there. So yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I've been burned by all these sequels lately.
Yeah. Well, and replicants are only supposed to live 4 years, and this movie's 35 years later. So if Harrison Ford was a replicant, how's this happening? What's going on here?
Shenanigans.
Yeah.
Get Bill Gates in here. You said it was going to run faster.
He lives close by.
To you, yeah. I mean, you could probably put like a Windows like bat symbol in the air, and
yeah,
you just swing on by your house. I'm like, what you need, Justin?
You should swing through the window.
Yeah, like with Robin. Yeah. Speaking of Robin.
Yeah. Speaking gonna... of Robin, have you watched that animated Caped Crusaders thing? It's like
no.
No.
I heard it's not. Not bad.
Yeah.
Heard it was a fun watch.
Let's check it out. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just totally forgot that was a thing.
That's all right. I was using Robin as a segue to talk about the Batman.
Oh, and how Justice League is going to be delayed, right?
Yeah, Justice League is going to be delayed. Justice League 2, yeah. Justice League 1 is still coming out next year. But then it was going to be 2 years, and Justice League 2 was going to come out in 2019. But they've given that spot to the Batman, to the Ben Affleck directed and starred Batman.
The Batman.
And so that'll give Zack Snyder time to get his passion project, The Last Photographer, off the ground that he's been trying to do since 300.
What?
I'm sure we're all excited to see an art film by Zack Snyder.
Aren't they all art films?
They're all something. So, I mean, this is exciting news. I mean, Batman's kind of the biggest name in comics, so it would make sense that eventually they'd want to get into the Batman business. Randy, you excited for a standalone Batman movie before Justice League 2, or is DC just, once again, just changing the program to change the program?
I think they are changing the program for the better, because anything that gets me more Batman, the better, as long as it's not necessarily in the vein of Suicide Squad 2.
Ooh! But...
I liked his scenes in Suicide Squad.
I did too, but that was
like
that was
punches
much
Harley Quinn in the
stuff.
Face.
Yeah, I just wish it was more. Like, I wanted him in like pursuit the entire time. I wanted them to have
like
their
a constant
mission.
Threat
him not
of Batman.
Yeah, I wanted them to have their mission, and he not privy to them and what they're doing. And he's just like, "What the fuck? I thought I put all these guys away. Why are they out hanging out together? Fucking." You know, ladies' night and shit. So I think that would have been more fun.
So I've got the crocodile guy, and I got this magic broad doing the Harlem Shake or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like picture like a horror movie, and Jason as like a relentless force that just keeps coming after them. I think that would have been great if that was Batman that keeps coming after him.
But not only do you have to avoid Jason Voorhees / Batman, you have to save the world.
Yeah, wouldn't that
you
have been a little bit
away.
More exciting?
That would have been amazing.
Honestly, who's writing this stuff?
Hopefully Geoff Johns gets this house in order, because they need it.
He can't even spell his name right. How hard is J-E-F-F?
I don't know, man. I know a lot of G-offs.
I do, too. It's spreading.
I only know one. He's a giraffe.
Goddamn hippies.
Cute Randy. So Justice League 2, delayed. Maybe they'll give them time to deal with the fallout from Justice League 1. Maybe find a new director. Just saying. How much money, Randy, would you pay to see a feature film 2 weeks after it debuted on the theater on your computer?
I don't know. I am a recluse and I am a hermit and I don't like to leave the house. So...
Before you answer, you could have multiple people come over and just split the bill.
Oh, well, that's even better. If I don't have to pay, if I can make the friends pay,
get a black box, but still tell them you had to pay for it.
I would pay 5 whole USD.
What a cheap bastard. Motherfucker, I got a $25 gift card for Regal. I got a movie ticket. I got a large popcorn, a large soda, and I owed 20 cents.
So you would obviously pay $25.
I would pay somewhere in that neighborhood, yes. I mean, I do like... I think paying for something like a big screen experience has value. But at the same time, if it's a movie that I know would have a large kid audience, I think I might be more comfortable watching it on my big-ass TV in my own house.
Yeah. And if it's $25, you invite 2 friends over, everyone kicks in $8. You know, $8 isn't a bad price for a movie.
No. Yeah. Well, how much is it going to cost? Do you
we don't
price?
Know yet. No, we don't have a price. But Apple is in negotiations or in talks with 20th Century Fox, Warner Brothers, and one other production company to do just that. So 2 weeks after a movie goes to the theater, it would be available on iTunes for rent. It wouldn't be available for purchase, just be available for rent. Last year, I believe at the beginning of the year, 20th Century Fox, no, it was Universal, I'm sorry, experimented with doing something like this with a couple of their like low-budget films, and they had the price point, I believe, at $35 or $40 to rent for a 24-hour period. I think that was kind of like their experiment to see if it was going to be something that was heavily pirated, because that's, I think, what the studios are most concerned about is that, you know, basically, after 2 weeks, they'd be sending out HD screeners to all of the pirates, to all the pirators out there. So,
right.
I'm sure they'd have to come up with some crazy encryption. But are you open, Justin, to watching? You know, you had mentioned the big screen experience. You know, some movies feel different on the big screen, but would you be interested in seeing, you know, the majority of your movies at home for a higher price?
Probably not. No.
Is it the price or the experience?
I think it's a combination of both. Some movies you can get away with watching at home, but Sometimes it's just part of sucking in the blockbuster experience. Like, if the first time I was going to watch Rogue One, for example, it has to be in the movie theater. Any comic book movie, for me, I would get more in the theater than I would. Now, if it was, let's say, you know, a comedy, I think it would be fun to maybe just have a night in with, you know, a sweetheart or something and have the fire going and have a nice little couch, you know, date kind of thing. And I think that might be worth it, but some movies you just gotta see on a big screen, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, Justin, does that, or Justin, it's Randy, does that create the paradigm now with theater owners and studios to where any movie that's not a big tentpole action film now doesn't even get a theatrical release? Everything goes like the straight VOD route, and does that kill movie theaters in the long run?
No, because people are always going to want to go out of the house. It's kind of a destination, and with so many luxury movie theaters and ones that'll like serve you food and your seats and everything, I think it's still going to be somewhat of a good like date kind of thing. It's going to be just a good excuse to get out of the house. So even if they do at some point simultaneously release the movie in theaters and VOD, as we've sometimes seen in the past, if that becomes the norm, I think movie theaters will still do okay.
Oh, good to hear.
What do you
mean? Think of it like this, though. I mean, imagine you're a teenager or a 20-something and you're dating. And, you know, you want to go see a movie. You don't necessarily always want to go see fucking Marvel movies and tentpole movies because, you know, they're mostly mindless drivel. Let's say you want to see something kind of fun. Let's say your chick's picking the movie and she wants to see a chick flick or, you know, what have you. That kind of stuff that isn't considered a tentpole. You know, you're still going to have some kind of good old-fashioned cinematic escapism to get out of the house and go experience.
See, that's true.
Especially if it's like a first date, because ain't no chick coming over to your house if they just met you.
Like, I got this plasma. But speaking of the movie-going experience, we had a bevy of new trailers hit the net and the Cineplex this week. So I thought we'd play a quick little round of yay or nay trailer edition, where you guys tell me if you're excited for this movie, why you're excited, why you think this movie's going to suck, and if you're going to see it the second it hits the theaters. So we'll start out with Justin's favorite franchise. The Fast and the Furious franchise is having its 8th installment, and they went with the amazingly, just ridiculously terrible title of Fate of the Furious. Not even F8. F-A-T-E. Fate of the Furious. And they dropped a 3-minute trailer. So, Justin, what do you think of this trailer, and what's your excitement level going into this franchise right now?
Oh, my God. It is so over-the-top ridiculous, which is great, because that's what Fast and Furious has become. Just, it's always up in the ante. Now we're driving submarines and shit, and it's ludicrous. And it is a little weird not seeing Paul Walker. I'm not gonna lie. I hate that I don't see Paul Walker. It makes me so sad. But then that's immediately followed up by a huge erection when Jason Statham is on screen. We get more Statham. We get more Rock. We get more freaking Vin Diesel, and the plot seems a little weird. They're chasing him like he's turned on them. The same guy that's always talking about family is now suddenly the bad guy, and now Jason Statham and The Rock are working together to bring Dominic Toretto down, and that just seems so ridiculous. But of course I'm gonna see it. I can't wait to see it, and it's probably gonna be awful, but I don't care, because not only that, Mr. Kurt Russell is also in the movie. Everybody that I could ever imagine is all going to be on screen together, and I can't wait.
So it looks like, so Charlize Theron's like a tech genius. Do you think that she has like some kind of mind control device that she's mind controlling Dom, or do you think it's something as simple as she's blackmailing him?
I think she's just blackmailing him. But if that's the case, he should be able to tell his team in some way that, hey, I'm just doing this because, you know, someone else I care about, maybe someone that's not on screen, like his sister and Paul Walker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. It just seems weird. I don't know what she could have on him that would make him want to turn It doesn't make any sense. So
I think it's nanites. I think she put nanites in his brain, and they're going to have to shrink down the cars, like Inner Space style.
Yeah.
Have to go into his brain
and take him
and
out.
Destroy the robot.
Jason Statham will have to punch him. He'll hop out of his car and just punch and kick all of the little nanomachines.
Yeah. I'm excited. We're going to get a ton of Rock and Statham stuff. So that's going to be good.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awful. God awful. Like a Crocosaur versus Mega Shark or whatever, kind of bad, but I'm going to love every second of it.
What about you, Randy? You excited? You pumped? I know you love Vin Diesel.
Pass.
I love it enough for the both of us.
There you go. I'll see it eventually.
Have you seen all seven of them, Randy, already?
Oh, I've seen all of them, yeah. Okay. I've begrudgingly sat through all of them.
Aww.
Begrudging? The time when they, like, jumped the car from one high skyscraper to another skyscraper to another skyscraper.
That was real, man.
Yeah, documentary.
That car was used.
Shot that with GoPros.
Yeah, attached to birds to get the best angle.
So you're really out on this movie, Randy?
Yeah, there's no way I'm paying to see that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, this is dumb action. It's right up your alley.
I have never paid to see a Fast and Furious movie in the movie theater.
All right, let's do this. What if they made Fast and Furious a period piece and it took place in the 40s in Europe?
You have my attention. Are we on the Autobahn?
That was going too fast.
A lot of sidecars. Motorcycles and sidecars.
Yeah.
Wow, and Nazis, that'd be kind of
surprising. Funny. You're so out on it, Randy. It was a hard pass, as Mr. James would say.
It just looks so just over the top
with the submarine.
Yeah, the fucking cars versus submarine. How does that even work?
Dave,
I understand they're driving on ice, but still.
Exactly, and Dave brought up an interesting point off before we started recording that he thought it would have been great if the camera would have zoomed into the sub, and then there's Vin Diesel driving the submarine. Maybe throw on a little captain's hat. That'd be kind of cool. Torn sleeves and a captain's hat.
Have, like, the anchor tattoo.
Yeah.
Now it's the Nas.
Oh, can you imagine? Then the propellers go really fast.
But it, like, does it, like, the wheelie thing that the cars do where, like, the top comes
out. Yeah, all the torque. The sub's got some sweet torque.
All right, Randy, what about War of the Planet of the Apes? That's got apes and
war.
Snow. What do you think of War of Planet of the Apes?
I'll pass on that one, too. I'm over the Apes movies.
Did you see the first two? Or the first seven, I should say? First eight?
I saw the first two of the modern era in theaters and everything, and they were okay. I'm just... Cold indifference.
Justin, are you cold and indifferent to War of the Planet of the Apes?
I can't wait. I'm super excited.
A number hit Japanese super show.
I think it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a huge fan of Planet of the Apes. You know, I love three of the original. One, I love two of the originals.
Four? Okay, yeah, so... I kind of like them all, but three, I think three is the most depressing. It makes me so sad. And then four is just like a weird prison riot movie. And then, but I really like five. I like one, two, and five.
You don't like three?
Three makes me so sad. When they get shot at the end.
Yeah.
It's awful. Just awful.
I love one, I love three, and then I like four and two and, or five, I mean, I like two and four. Okay for me.
Yeah. Two's just like a rehash. It's like episode 7. It's like the same shit that you've already seen.
And then, of course, I love the Tim Burton remake. That's my fave. But I guess we'll move on, Randy. All right, Justin. I think we might get Randy on this one. Justin, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Tell me about it. Love it. Fun trailer. We get Iron Man again. Tony Stark's always a delight in these movies. And, Tom Holland looks like he's loving every second of being Spider-Man. I'm enjoying every moment that I see of him as Spider-Man. I think his Peter Parker is spot on. He's a kid that's excited to be a superhero, and I love that. Can't wait.
All right, Randy. This is your time to shine. Let's hear it.
I agree with everything Justin just said, and I think it looks amazing. A lot of people were shitting on the trailer, saying it doesn't have enough action, or it feels like the trailer's all over the place. I adore the shit out of it. I think it's going to be great.
Are you amped for Michael Keaton as a villain?
I think he looks fantastic, so yes. I really want to see what he'd bring to this villainous role.
I like it. Did you watch the Assassin's Creed trailer, Andy?
I did.
And are you pumped for Assassin's Creed? It's like a period piece, but in the future, but not.
It does look kind of fun, and I probably will actually see it. Like, go out of my way to see it.
Well, you're just a poster quote machine, Randy. I may go out of my way to see this.
No promises, you know.
Yeah, no promises. If it's playing at a convenient time at a close location, I may stop by.
If I happen to stumble into a movie theater that's playing it, you know, I'm not going to necessarily get out of my seat.
Yeah, if I stumble in the wrong theater and this movie's playing, I might stick around. What about you, Justin? Are you in or out on this franchise?
I don't know, man. I mean, I played all the games and I enjoy the games, but I'm not feeling it, dude. Because my least favorite part about the Assassin's Creed games is the Animus. I hate how I'm enjoying myself in this period piece, and then it takes me out into the real world. That's always been my biggest draw, because I feel like if I'm reliving something that my ancestors have done, then it's already happened, and clearly I was successful. So it's just
right, I'm here.
Yeah. So I don't know. It always just kind of bothered me. I never sat well with me. I wish that the future timeline was never a thing, and it was always just an adventure in some given time period. But whatever. I mean, I like Fassbender. I'll probably just for the sake of the show, I'll probably end up seeing it. But I feel like it's more homework than actual entertainment.
Makes sense. Now, I've never actually played an Assassin's Creed game, so maybe you can give us a dummy's lesson here. What is... So the Animus is, like, it current time, and so how... Like, is he reliving memories, or is he, like, sending his consciousness back in time? Like,
yeah, you're reliving memory. It's, like, taps into, like, your genetic code or some bullshit, and you're able to see what your ancestors did, and basically you're doing it to uncover answers to hidden truths or artifacts or relics of power, and you're trying to find out where these things are by going back in time and seeing what happened.
But you can't alter what happened.
No, in fact, if you fail, then you like disconnect from the Animus and then you retry again. That's what I'm saying. That's like part of it seems so fake.
So there's, like, no consequences.
Right. I would rather... I mean, this is totally something that maybe in the future we can experience with games, but, you know, if you're supposed to listen, spy on some kind of conversation, or maybe steal some, you know, plans or something, if you fail, then maybe you just have to figure it out another way or re-steal this item later. I hate how you just get to retry it. It seems to be like if you're an assassin and you should be able to be resilient and adaptable and find a way to still get the mission complete.
Hmm.
But yeah, whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's whatever. It's a fucking video game, right? But right. In my head, I'm thinking, this is fake. This game is fake. That's bullshit.
All right, we'll move on to the fifth and, in my mind, best trailer that I loved to death. Randy, what do you think of the Baywatch trailer? Crickets, Randy?
Sorry, my mic was muted.
I'm like, wow, you really fucking hated that. Yeah. Talk to me.
Otherwise, you would have heard the one epic word that I said, which was simply pass.
Randy, who hurt you?
Who hasn't?
You didn't smile during this Baywatch trailer with Zac Efron and The Rock?
I mean, it could be fun, but it's just not the kind of thing that I'm going to go out of my way to see.
Well, you never saw the 21 or 22 Jump Street, right? You didn't see one of those?
I didn't, and I will also go on the record as saying I never saw a single episode of Baywatch when it was current.
I don't think it matters.
Not that it matters, but I mean, I have no affinity for the franchise. No feeling of nostalgia or anything.
You should watch 21 and 22 Jump Street for several reasons. A, they're directed by Lord and Miller, who were going to direct the Han Solo movie. So you get excited for that because they're amazing directors. And they're actually incredibly funny movies. And this is an R-rated comedy that falls in that same vein. And I'm just beyond pumped. I love The Rock. I love Zac Efron. So I'm a little more excited. What do you think, Justin? Do you want to you people?
No, I think it'll be funny. I'm excited. I mean, I'm with you. I like a good romp. I remember one time watching the show, Baywatch, that is, and I was talking to my buddy at the time. We were just on the phone with each other watching it kind of together, and I meant to say, man, I really wish I was that guy right now, but I said girl. I was like, man, I really want to be that girl right now. And he's like, wait, what? But I was just so hot.
Yeah. I used to watch it occasionally with my sister-in-law. We used to have a good laugh at its expense.
Yeah. Holy shit.
So, yeah. So, Randy, of these five movies, which one, how many of them will you see in the theater? Between Fate and the Furious, War of the Planet of the Apes, Spider-Man Homecoming, Assassin's Creed, and Baywatch.
Spider-Man, for sure, and possibly Assassin's Creed.
All right. Justin, same question.
I don't even remember what the question was.
How many of these will you see in the theater of the five that we just talked about?
Probably all of them, but Baywatch.
Fair enough.
I mean, honestly, I don't think I'll be losing much if I catch it on HBO or...
Or 2 weeks later on iTunes.
Or 2 weeks later on iTunes for $50 USD.
You gotta get like six friends over to split the cost.
Yeah, so honestly, $25 is my magic number on that one. Because that's what I pay to get my food and my ticket.
Yeah, that's a good price. I would see that going. It would kill the movie theaters, but I think it could be good.
I mean, that would be sad, I guess. But maybe just as an added bonus, if it is an iTunes thing, that maybe you also got like a 10% off if you wanted to own it when it came out later or something like that. Some kind of discount that could be applied if you wanted to own it when it was released.
No, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I could see that. Well, awesome. Well, cool. You guys got anything else to add before we say goodbye?
No.
Not a goddamn thing.
What about shout-outs? Randy, you got something?
Nope.
Oh, a rare miss for Randy. Justin.
Shout out to your wife, man. She had a birthday. And your son. And my niece. Everyone's got birthdays.
People be fucking in March.
Yeah. So, if you're one of those people that wants to have a child, you want to procreate, plan it so that you can be off of work during the fourth quarter of the year. Especially if you have a gig in retail. It's always nice to not be there during the busiest time of year.
Mm, yeah. Well, make sure that you keep your peepers peeped on the Geek Legacy YouTube page. We'll post that out there when Randy gets his video up comparing what's in the trailer versus what's in the movie. Should be a fun thing. And then I'll have my spoiler-free review of Rogue One up on the site by the time you listen to this. So, yeah, make sure you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter @GeekLegacy, and for all your geek news and reviews, go to geeklegacy.com.